WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are putting the Maryland Crab Cake toward a little bit of a hiatus here for a couple of weeks because we might win the Super Bowl. Since I have been excommunicated from Radio Row after 28 years, I'm starting up a new industry, Radio Row. We'll be doing Crab Cake Row beginning on February 5th here. Actually, we're going to be doing it in February the 8th on this guy's side of town, the other side of town, as we say here. I'll have some Maryland Lottery scratch off some leftovers from the holidays. We're also going to be honoring our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube for presenting what is going to be just the greatest charity week that I've ever done, the biggest thing I think I've ever done. I think it'll grow into the biggest thing we've ever done, but we're celebrating 25 years of stories of glory around here. I would say time will not dim the glory of your deeds in helping us keep WNST alive. This guy's been a friend to us from the very, very beginning. He disappeared from Baltimore when I was a younger person and made a life. And it's days like today where I look out here and it's like 38 degrees. It's raining sideways. It's awful. Snow shoveling. He gave it all up. He went to Jacksonville. Put a flag in the ground in the sand down there. Started playing golf and doing television. And lo, these it's been 40 years, Sam. Sam Kavaras joins us here. He is a Hall of Fame voter for all things. And I said I'm having my favorite people on right now to talk about Lamar and football, literally, because I don't do a ton of I do football, but I don't do it like I used to.
Right.
How have you, Sam? How you been? How many years was it that you moved out of here because of John Buehren?
John, who's a good friend of mine, by the way, I left Baltimore in 1971.
Oh, 52 years ago.
Yeah. And of course, that's I was in high school, went to Woodlawn High, which was kind of funny because, you know, here I am a quarterback at Woodlawn High, and they had just won the Western Division back then. And I remember stepping in the huddle. And I was 14 years old, okay, because I have a late birthday. My mom sent me early. I remember stepping in the huddle, looking around. These guys were shaving. Some of them probably had kids. I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting.
The Mighty anyway, Warriors, right? Absolutely,
ended up
right?
Played at Clemson my freshman year. Transferred back to Maryland, graduated from there. Got my first job in Charleston, my second job in Jacksonville. I thought I'd be gone from here, you know, 3 years later, but my wife liked it here, and good things kept happening. You know, we kept having kids in Jacksonville. We got a football team, covered 35 national football championships. You know, just you name it. You know, when you're around Florida and Georgia and Miami and all that. Although I was at the 83 World Series, I will tell you that.
So. Well, you know, I and I found my picture.
Because Storm Davis was on that team, and he's from Jacksonville.
I love Storm came back and pitched with the Orioles in the early 90s when, you know, right. I was covering at Camden Yards. And I remember, you know, these guys that have to live up to Jim Palmer, you know, like when Doug DeSensei's had to be broke, you know, like that's tough. Right. It's tough. And you've been down in Jacksonville long enough that the Pacellis and the Brunels and everything that happens. We're about to go into a really weird place here, right? Like we've never been this good. I've never sat here 32 years of doing radio. The first 6, 7, we didn't have any football here, right? But I've been on the air since 1991. This is the first time I sit here in January with you, Sam, and the Ravens are expected to win the Super Bowl. They won a couple. And they were a contender, but this is the year where it's like it's all come together. And you and Jacksonville had a couple of 14-2s, I remember. This is when the road gets tough. And I think the next couple of weeks, whatever's going to happen here in the AFC, because certainly the Jaguars were going to be in the tournament, right? They were 8-3, right? I mean, they were going to be in the tournament.
8-3 and then went 1-5. I mean, probably the biggest collapse in franchise history. And they fired virtually their entire defensive staff yesterday. And rightfully so. I mean, after about half the season when the Jaguars were 8-3, offensive coordinators figured out that the Jaguars were really good at like one thing on defense. They were fast. They weren't big and they weren't super smart outside of the front four. So everything started to flow this way and the ball would go that way. And you saw that Derrick Henry did that on Sunday. So, you know, they'll have some new philosophy coming in there defensively. I don't particularly like the fact that Press Taylor is still calling plays, but I think Doug Peterson's a better play caller. And, you know, the Jaguars' injuries on offense really affected what they could do. But you got to have 53 guys on the roster. Baltimore has proved that. And we got a chance to see them, obviously, and how good they actually are. And, you know, for a while, the Jaguars gave him a game, but Lamar is one of two, I think, in NFL history, the other being Michael Vick. And I just think that if he's having a day, you guys are unbeatable. Plus, you got the right coach. Remember, when you have that week off, it goes one way or another. Either you're rested and ready and ready to go, or you're a little sluggish and you kind of can't get out of your own way. We've seen both of those.
Well, and when you make a mistake, and you know, the one thing for the Ravens this year, and I'm going to have Aaron Schatz on talking DVOA and the greatest team ever in that way, that they didn't fall behind, Sam, by more than a touchdown until the final fourth quarter of the last game. Like literally 4 minutes left in the season is when they fell behind by 10 points for the first time in 17 games. I mean, they came prepared to play. They had a lead at the 2 minute warning in the first 16 games, every game. And they pissed three of them away. You know, Cleveland, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh. If you talk about the trinity of teams you don't want to lose to in your division, plus the Colts, you know, They've been that prepared, that good every week. They stayed mainly healthy other than Mark Andrews. And I think this level of expectation, and to your point, the waiting, is it rust? Is it rest? What is it? You know, where are they? Where are their veteran heads? But if they fell behind, and that would be the same thing, I guess, for San Francisco we saw on Christmas night. You fall behind, the game gets real different offensively.
Right. You have to do different things. And the Jaguars experienced that in 1999, went 14-2, had the week off, blasted Miami in the divisional round.
Oh, 60, that was awful. That was like, was that Marino's last? Was that like, no, something
Marino
awful happened
and
that
Jimmy
day.
Jimmy Johnson.
Right. Both Jimmy Johnson
them,
got blown
both
out.
Both of them
day.
Retired right. after that game. The Jaguars retired Jim Kelly too, by the way. You know, all that playoff game that they played against him up there in 97, but 96, 97. But and then the next week they were a little sluggish and got behind against Tennessee and ended up losing in the AFC Championship game. So you're right. There's a difference between rest and rust. But I mean, John Harbaugh figured out a way to get to Houston last night and back, I'm sure. So I think Doug Peterson can be that kind of coach given the opportunity. I think Shad Khan's going to give him that chance too.
Sam Kamaras has been doing sports for 52 years since he left here as a Woodlawn graduate and always a Baltimorean, right? Like, I mean, you can get like crabs where you are, right? Like, I mean, once in a while you probably sure. steam them the right way because you're coastal enough to do that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you go through the Charlotte airport a lot when you're flying out of Jacksonville, and there's a Phillips there. So
we're doing Crab Cake Row here. I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag and all this stuff, but from afar, you've been a Hall of Fame voter for a long time. Where the Lamar part of how he affects the game, you compared him to Vic one way or another, 1-3 in the playoffs, two-time MVP winner now, and has been a part of these legendary offensive teams. The 19 team was a, you know, freight train of a team as well, much like this. Marshall Yanda was a part of that, different weapons this time around. And I think maybe a different resolve defensively too, with the Van Noys and the Clownies where they are in their career. Plus Roquan Smith was a real heart transplant for the team. So as much as it's Lamar, Mahomes, 52 other guys, and the right. complementary pieces that this team's managed to put around Lamar with the salary cap, that's going to change dramatically. Queen, Matabike, all these guys, they're going to have a hard time, as any winner does, as any team with a $50 million quarterback would have. But this is their time, and you know, a hiccup here, you're maybe 4 years away from, maybe you never come back. And Lord knows you're in Jacksonville. You've had really good teams. You had championship game, but you haven't played in the banana, and certainly haven't won the banana. We're about looking at our third parade here since Tagliabue took the team to you instead of us, and we were going to get a museum and do all that. You know the pain of this. You know really good teams and how hard this is to do.
Yeah, to get there. It's so funny because you talk about Lamar, and of all people, I had a delightful conversation with Ray Lewis this week. You know, sometimes, I mean, I just remember when Ray was a player, he was not much fun to talk to. And I had a chance to talk to him about Fred Taylor, who's one of the finalists at the Hall of Fame. And he said some things that were really interesting, that when a guy steps on the field who's a potential Hall of Famer, he's a problem. Lamar Jackson is a problem. In fact, Ray said a guy who gets consideration for the Hall of Fame is the guy who changes how you think about how you're going to play that game against him. And that's certainly who Lamar Jackson is at this point. And, you know, you put a resume together that he has, you know, MVPs and Super Bowl championships, you know, Pro Bowls, all pro teams. Those are the things that the voters look at.
Well, you've been doing this a long time. When you say things that they look at, you're pitching Fred Taylor right now, right? And, right. Yeah. And I think you and I spent years with Buscelli, right? Like for years about how freaking good he was and McCrary, you know. Yeah, I mean, but in that day, him and Ogden were 1-1A, and Buscelli's career was cut very short. John's career was cut kind of shorter than a Bruce Matthews or some other guys that have gone out there and done it for a long period of time. But this part where you get him into a Hall of Fame, like I think about Fred Taylor and I say really good running back, but so is Jamal Lewis. I haven't looked at the numbers. I mean, no, I know Taylor had a longer, you know, period of time there and in one place. What is the case for Fred Taylor as you're making it in the Hall of Fame?
From 1998 to 2010, Fred Taylor was the third leading rusher in the NFL. So if you want to talk about the best player of his era, he was there. LaDainian Tomlinson was number one. Edgerrin James was number two. But Taylor had 400 carries fewer than James, yet James only gained 550 more yards than Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor's 17th on the all-time list. So what is 16 the cutoff? Two guys are in front of him, Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore, who aren't in the Hall. Every other player is in the Hall. So when you start looking at his body of work and what he did, he averaged 4.6 yards per carry. There's only two guys in the Hall who averaged more than that, and that's Jim Taylor and Barry Sanders. And that list gets even smaller when you include guys who had 2,500 or more carries, and that becomes Sanders and Taylor. So when you start comparing him to the greats and then to the players in his era, well, then all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a guy who was certainly top two or three in that era. The knock against Fred, people say, well, he didn't score enough touchdowns. He scored 66 rushing touchdowns. Thurman Thomas scored 65. You know,
I would think Jimmy Smith and Keenan Cardell, you know, a lot of those guys, Cardell took a lot of touchdowns away at that time, right?
Well, that, and also Tom Coughlin would take him out of the game and put Greg Jones in to score the touchdown. Greg was, you know, 250, 6'3", and, you know, they had a pretty decent offensive line in front of him.
Zero respect for the fantasy team back in the day.
That's right. You know, and
that was Don McCauley's role when we were kids, remember? McCauley always scored a touchdown.
That's right.
Poor Lydell. Yeah.
He was Christian McCaffrey before Christian McCaffrey, right? If you look at who blocked for Taylor, the only All-Pro or Pro Bowl guy was Buscelli, and that was only the first three years of his career. And after that, his career numbers got better because the team leaned on him more. He also, I mean, he had 9 consecutive 100-yard games. That's fourth all time. He has 13 runs of 50 yards or more for a touchdown and 4 more catches, and he still holds the record for the longest rushing touchdown in NFL playoff history, 90 yards against the Dolphins.
So the only way we get a touchdown is if he ran it 50 yards, because at the goal line, they have never given the ball.
That's right. And, you know,
that's such a weird, that's such a fantasy thing to grade, right, on how many touchdowns you've, I mean, I just all of it. And I would say to you for your era and trying to get him in, if they made one Super Bowl, if they would have beaten, you know, if he would have or won a Super Bowl, you think about these guys very, very differently when they play in some godforsaken place. Not like I would say Jacksonville, but a place where they haven't won Super Bowls. I think you're different if you're a Brown or a Lion or you're a Jaguar where you didn't win, or you know, Seahawk or whatever, you didn't win. You get thought about differently in the old era, I think. Yeah.
Jacksonville is considered an outpost still by so many NFL types. You know, we're the place where we don't have enough strip clubs or late night cocktail places to go to. I mean, it's a place where, and I tell guys all the time, if you go from the airport to the Hyatt, to the stadium, to the Hyatt and back to the airport in any town in America, you don't see anything. So, you know, don't judge cities on your experience like that. But Fred Taylor could be, you could call him the 1 yard back. At 6'1", 228, he could score from your 1 yard line. He could also score from his own 1 yard line because he was big enough to run over defensive guys, strong enough to stiff arm linebackers, and he outran every defensive back. Fred ran a 4.29 at his pro day at Florida. So,
well, I mean, remains to be seen. I mean, you know, a lot of times these guys come. Do you do it in a room? How do you? Because forever and ever, I know all of you. I had Clark Judge on earlier. I'll have Howard Balls on. Like, it used to be I would be there when you're doing it. You know, I was one of those guys maybe in line to be the guy from Baltimore until he threw me out, of course. But I don't know anything about the history of the league. But you guys would coffee up and bathroom out and fight and yell and in the hotel. And Tony Grossi would make a case against Art Modell. I mean, all these things that happen. How does it happen these days? I don't even know.
For the last 3 years, it's been a Zoom call because of COVID. But we're getting together this year. As a group in person, so that'll be good.
And where are you doing that? Is that Super Bowl again?
No, and in fact, we now do it a couple of weeks before the Super Bowl. And this year, we're meeting in Atlanta. And it's been interesting because the new leadership of the Hall of Fame has really entrusted the selection committee with a lot of confidential information. And I'm kind of amazed that it's never leaked out in the last 3 years. Because we have information that people would like to know. Let's put it that way. So we'll meet and we'll know again. And hopefully the information won't get out until they make that announcement. You know, when I first got on the committee, which was 93. This is my 30th year on the committee. So
you were on the committee before the team, like when the team got a team, right? Like right. Jacksonville got a team, therefore had a voter. You were that guy.
Had a voter. Yeah. And so my first meeting. Yeah. The meeting started at 7 a.m. There was a continental breakfast beforehand. And the announcement was at noon of the Saturday of the Super Bowl. Now, the committee, I was a 31st person on the committee because Jacksonville got the 30th franchise. Every franchise had one person. And then there was the Pro Football Writers Association of America president was also on it. Now there are one representative for all 32 teams and there are 18 at large. So there's 50 people on the committee now. I mean, it's huge. And, it starts at 7. They serve two full meals. And there's a TV show that night. So it's totally changed. But the fact that we're meeting in person, I think, is important. And, even people who are candidates and finalists don't understand the process. And I've tried to explain this to people. You know, I go into that room and we talk about 15 modern era candidates in a row. Every presenter, in this case for me, Fred Taylor, gets 5 minutes and that's it. And then there's a discussion and then you get another minute or two to follow up after that. And then you move on. I mean, it's not like I've got a half an hour to kind of lay out Fred's case like I would with you here today.
Well, Sam, I always appreciate the time and the insights into all this. And as you sit in Jacksonville and see this implosion of a franchise that was 8-3, ooh, watching this AFC tournament. And I've said this a few times and I'll say it again this week that, you know, anybody thought I was a naysayer on Lamar. And I distinctly remember this conversation. I had a crab cake tour over Coco's on the east side, not the west side, right in the middle in Lauraville. And Resig was with me and Dave Shinen from the Washington Post. We had the Orioles were really good. It was August. You know, the Orioles were going to win the World Series and they didn't win a game. This has been an unbelievable year for Baltimore sports. Both teams being so good, so ahead of everybody else, first in class, winning division.
It was
so much
fun to watch. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great Baltimore sports year, but it takes a thought if Joe Flacco comes in here and beats them next week, or the Pittsburgh Steelers come in and beat them next week, or whomever, Houston, I mean, whoever they draw, wherever any of that is. But when we talked about it, I threw this flipping question. Who's going to win the championship? What's the next parade? Is it Orioles or Ravens? And Shinen said neither because it's hard to win. It's just really hard to win. That's the odds. You're in Jacksonville. It's hard to win, right? And I said, fine. I said, well, make the case. I'll take the Ravens, and here's what. Or I'll take the Orioles. I said, I'll take the Orioles to win before the Ravens because I thought Lamar's path would be difficult. And I thought winning three games in January, if you have to beat Mahomes, Allen, and Lawrence, or you have to beat, just go through any of those names of the, now you throw Stroud in there, right? You throw these great, Burrow would be the guy in our own division, as right. well as Watson, who made a lot of money. Say what you want about his massages right. and like all of that. Good quarterback, well thought of, capable, right? I thought, this is that. That's the treachery. The treachery is three games, maybe two on the road. Maybe, you know, maybe you get lucky and you're one seed 1 year, but that would mean that everybody else has to take the year off. Well, here we are. He's not going to have to beat Mahomes and Allen, one or the other, because they're the two and the right. three, right? It might be Flacco. It might be Mason Rudolph. It might be whoever it's going to be next week. It's not going to be Burrow, those names, Aaron Rodgers, throw him in. That's what we were talking about here in August, right? Sure. And you're going to put him on the Hall of Fame ballot at some point and have and make that case, right? So I looked at it, and now that I look at it and say, they're really healthy. They have a week off. They're getting healthier. They have a great defense. They have a kicker who's the GOAT. You're going to be voting him in at some point, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, all of this happens, and now their pathway is home cooking, win a B game, I mean, against a team they ought to freight train, and then they're going to have their moment with, and maybe they won't. Maybe somebody else will sneak in, right? I mean, you guys snuck in with Blake Bortles a couple of years ago, right?
Exactly.
Like, so all of that's possible. But boy, as I sit here with you, and it's cold out, and it's warm in Jacksonville where you are, this is like, this is dreamy, and this is how they win, by having an easier path, because it's too hard to go on the road through Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, thinking you're going to win. And I've been thinking about it that way. That's not the reality. This is their best chance.
I think the Packers and the Steelers are the only teams who have gone on the road and won three games to go to the Super Bowl. And with Rodgers and
Ravens Rutherford. Did that. Ravens did that. No, the Denver game was the home game. You're correct, because you're always correct. The Denver game was home, and then it was are correct. Yes.
You get that week off, like you said. You should truck whoever shows up in 10 days. And then the championship game is where, you know, it really gets tight. But as you mentioned, and I tell you what, when Smith was at Georgia, we were all like, man, can this guy play? And the fact that he ended up with the Ravens is just, it's criminal, because, you know, that shouldn't be allowed. You know, he should still be in Chicago. But that's the kind of defense that, even if your offense is sputtering just a little bit, you still win a 13-10 game, you know, something like that.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, and NFC side, we talk about how, you know, everybody thinks San Francisco is pretty safe right now, right? Week off, better than anybody else, genius in offense, moving parts, you know, and teams having trouble defending it until the Ravens. And the defending part for the Ravens was the confusion of McDonald on the defense, but the five turnovers. I mean, they play in the Super Bowl again. The Niners aren't going to turn the ball over five times.
Brady's not going to throw four interceptions in the Super Bowl, I don't think. But, you know, that to me, that looks like the Super Bowl matchup, particularly since Philadelphia's falling off the same cliff that the Jaguars did. But, you know, that certainly looks like it. And I'd love to see that game again, because I like it when teams kind of know something about each other and you see the adjustments that they make and what kind of game it might be.
I think about the fan base here and the Orioles and the, you know, it's been since 83, almost since when you left, and waiting in 12 years. And a place like Jacksonville, they haven't won, unless you're Florida State, Florida, you win championships, you do that sort of thing. But the parade notion of something going on here, maybe for the third time since you got the franchise, it really speaks to how special this thing is, but it also speaks to how difficult it is if 2 weeks from now Joe Flacco comes in and beats. By the way, the Flacco story is crazy, right? Like, you vote on all this Hall of Fame stuff. I don't think you ever thought Kurt Warner would wind up on a ballot, let alone get in, after he was buried on the New York Giants bench, right? Like, so stranger things have happened than this Joe Flacco thing, but it is pretty strange.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was terrible and fun to watch him do that against the Jaguars, but that was one of the first indications that there's a problem on the Jaguars defense, that they were not playing smart. They didn't have a thumper. You know, their linebackers are, you know, 6'2", 220, you know, they were flowing against what they were doing, that Stefanski was doing up there. And then all of a sudden the ball was going the other way. And Flacco was the perfect guy to run that, because you know, he didn't have to stand there in the pocket. He didn't have to throw 35 yards downfield, although he's still capable of doing that. Smart guy, you know, able for good ball handling skills, good deception in the backfield. He was the ideal guy to beat the Jaguars. He's not the ideal guy to beat the Ravens.
How's golf game coming? You getting your body back together? I know you are like the original Humpty Dumpty, former broken down athlete. Tell everybody how many. Has there anything that hasn't been surgically replaced on you, Sam Kavaris?
Yes. And hopefully that was it. Both knees and both hips is just fine. But I've got a phenomenal surgeon who literally might be the best in the country. And that's been really good. But it's a process to get back. That's for sure.
I don't want to find out about it. I mean, the knee's tricky, the back's messy. You know, I'm on the mat. My friends at Planet Fitness are trying to get me. But I mean, I watch you guys get back from these replacement things, and I'm like, you know, yeah. I don't want any replacements. You know,
painful too. By the way, it's both.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about all. I got enough pain and misery here. Sam, I'll get down to Jacksonville. I'll get to Yulee and see my beautiful kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Wassel, at some point. And and the sun will shine in Jacksonville again. But I'm sorry I keep missing these trips, man. I mean, you guys getting a new crib down there? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, probably won't be ready until 27 or 28, but they're going to spend $1.2 billion on a new stadium.
So the team's not ever going to leave if that happens. I've always been skeptical. You know that. Especially when you start playing games in England, everybody should be skeptical. But that will be the end, right? The getting a stadium there fixes things for as long as you're alive and I'm alive.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, the owners know a lot of different stuff. And when they started playing, the Jaguars started playing a game in London, Shad knew they were going to at least play 17 games. So now all of a sudden, every other year, you've got 9 home games instead of 8. So that you've got 8 instead of 7. I mean, you know, all that thing kind of comes into play. If Shad Khan ever owns a team in London, it won't be the Jaguars. I think if they ever expand, he'd love to be the owner in London. But right now, he's very committed to Jacksonville, not just from the football and stadium. I mean, he's big into development in his town. He's got a development company called Stash, like mustache. And okay. He's very committed at this point, but you know, he's one of the richest guys in the world. So making a move based on the economics, you know, don't ever say never.
Jacksonville, baby, cheap real estate, decent weather, and getting better every day with global warming.
Every day,
right?
That's for sure. Absolutely.
Hey, man, get yourself back together. I'm sorry I don't see you at Super Bowls and at things, but we will. I'm making a grand tour and seeing all my friends now that I don't fly in and out for football games and spend time with you guys. But I always appreciate your friendship all these years later. And, go vote for some good ones. So we'll get some Ravens in there before it's all over with. All right.
Before it's over.
Suggs is soon, right? Suggs is coming, right?
That's right. I keep threatening to come see John Buren. So, because he claims he's never coming to Florida. So,
okay. Well, listen, if you come up here to see Buren, I'm buying the crab cakes.
I like
all right?
that.
What I'm saying? There you go. Sam Kavaris joining us here. He is down in Jacksonville, Florida, via Woodlawn. Once a Baltimorean, always a Baltimorean in the Charm City. Always good to have him on. And go Fred Taylor, except when he's playing against us. I used to like watching him run over the Steelers and run over the Titans. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.